We are reading from the Sealed Book of Mormon. We're in the first part, which is the Sealed Book of Moses. And we're beginning chapter 3. Chapter 3 is very long. And I'm going to read part of it, and then I'll have to stop. And we'll have to do another reading to finish it. So chapter 3. Having been Moses caught up from the principal, saw the angel Ahiah become miserable and proposed to himself that all humanity would also be miserable, just as he. And with that, began to lie and deceive the first parents of mankind, Eve and Adam, succumb under the influence of this evil being that was expelled of heaven. Adam receives the priesthood of the Son of God, and with him the law of the priesthood and the promise about his righteous seed after him. Abel fulfills the requirements required by law for how much Cain is induced for priestly tricks and commences false worship among his fellow man. Abel becomes the first prophet to seal with blood his work on earth. Seth is born and spreads the gospel and the priesthood through his offspring. Verse 1. It so happened that Moses was caught up on a mountain extremely high and came to Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem and obtained knowledge of all things that were from the beginning. Began to record what he saw and heard in the sealed book that was found by Hilkiah, together with the book of the law in the days of Josiah, king of Judah, which Lehi brought into this land beyond the sea, in order to preserve its records for future generations of priests of the holy order of the Son of God in the final part of the fullness of times. 2. It was then that Moses passed to be in a great universal meeting in which Ahiah, the angel whose name means brother of Jehovah, greater leader who covered in his expansion the class of anointed cherubim, the chief commander of the flaming stones, until the day he was disposed from his office, and the supervision of heavenly visits to the Son of Man was delivered to the angel Gabriel, who commanded them for by the too much generations of Israel, when they were walking by the circuit of the heavens, which chariots of fire visited the prophet of God, full of wisdom and proceedings from the highest caste of the order of the stars, Delva, had full access to Mount Zion until the day he overturned the old covenant and vehemently accused the great Jehovah of usurping the rights of free will in all beings created by him in the vast expanse of the universe, for how much he himself came seeking to destroy free will of man from the beginning. 3. And so, because he had been full of pride and vanity, assumed an air of grandeur, and came to desecrate his own wisdom by supposing in his heart that he would be accepted by God in the highest and immaculate cradle of creation, after a rousing appreciation of a vast multitude of followers, first of those whom he led astray in the heavens and now on earth. And so he longed to return to the holy mountain of meeting and to take his place among the council of the heavens, which are above the holy angels in the likeness of God. But beneath the sovereign Lord, the Almighty, which cannot overrule the ordinance established by him in the heavens, of the dominions of the earth would be in subjection to his son, Ahiah. When then it even before the foundation of the world that was given the dominions of the king of mankind, and with that he came to be in Eden, the garden of God. 4. Being that man had been created in the image of God, reflecting in itself its divine attributes, namely love, wisdom, creative potential, and justice, and had also been created according to its likeness, thus obtaining characteristics similar to the image of his creator, coming to be an immortal creature. For how much were subject to themselves all creatures that move in heaven, on earth, and in the sea, but they had been commanded to fertilize and fill the earth and to expand the boundaries of Eden. Verse 5. But it came to pass that Ah-iha. When he sought to do that which was evil before God, was cast out of the highest and immaculate cradles of the earth. Yes, yea, from the holy mountain of God to heavenly Zion. However, he had not yet been expelled from the heavenly realms, since he periodically made himself present at the universal meetings in order to present a report of his administration concerning the world which was under his dominion. 6. Therefore, it was at the beginning of human history on earth that after falling from his high position in the heavens, he became wretched before the children of God and thereby proposed himself in subjecting all humanity to being unable to fully enjoy its free will and thus condemn them to the same misery and decay that he had been condemned. 7. So that old serpent went on to deceive his brethren who lived with him in the heavens and so soon became an opponent of God's plan for this world. It happened then that he went on to deceive the first human couple still in Eden, the paradise of God, coming to become the father of every lie, and so was called the devil. 8. It was then, after Adam and Eve had succumbed to the wiles of the devil, that God proceeded to curse them, for behold, they had lived on a higher level on the spiritual plane. Though they were made of the dust of the earth, in Eden they were clothed with spirit and therefore immortal. But as soon as they sinned, God clothed them with mortal skin. Therefore were cursed to suffer in the inclemency of time, pain, sweat, and all sorts of evil that are subject to mortal flesh. 9. However, the Father of tender mercies provided a means of redemption by which the children of Adam could return to their initial glory and again have full communion with God as they had in the beginning. This providence being the very priesthood of God that is according with the order of his Son, being therefore called at the beginning of all times the priesthood of the Son of God. 10. Therefore the gospel became the way for all to return to God. The scriptures of the holy prophets are the iron rod extended along this trajectory that intertwine through a dense mist of darkness. Being the priesthood is the safe guide, which lamp is to light the way in the darkest night and keep us on the right course until we reach the tree of life. And whose fruits correspond to the full happiness of attaining the reward of eternal life. 11. And as soon as God had cast out the man of Eden, putting cherubim of guard and a flaming sword around to keep the way to the tree of life, when the Lord provided this priesthood to man in order to choose between good and evil. Otherwise, without the priesthood, man's way would be torturous and his thoughts and inclination of his heart will be sensual and devilish most of the time. 12. Since these words concerning this priesthood of the Son of God are those that the Lord told Moses that they are pure and true, and that they are not to be shown to anyone until the Lord orders a Moses in the last days, that he may reveal these words only to those who believe. 13. And in this all the wisdom of God is manifested. For behold, all things were made according to the wisdom of him that knoweth all things. 14. And if Adam and Eve had not transgressed, then they would have remained in the Garden of Eden in an immortal state, and yet would be with their perceptions wrapped in the innocence of the Spirit, which would not allow them to have children, and would never have joy because they did not know mercy, not being able to decide for themselves the way of goodness, because they did not know evil. 15. But Adam fell, fulfilling the requirements of the Father to be fruitful and to fill the earth with his offspring. And the priesthood of the Son of God exists to make the people of earth come to understand the plan of salvation and allow the children of the man to know how to wait for the Son of God, who will come in the fullness of time to redeem from the fall those who believed in him, in order to become free from the yoke of sin and death, so that they may return again to the presence of the Father. 16. However, since the sin of Adam resulted in the degeneration of the divine nature in man, so now, with his mortal and fallen nature, no descendant of Adam would have strength to resist the wiles of the devil. For how much live in the world of humanity? That is, in disobeying the God the Father, Adam subjected all his offspring under the influence of Satan. With this, man would be condemned to the bondage of sin and death forever. 17. It was then that God proposed to Adam that he would provide a deliverer from the bondage of sin and death, the designated seed. And beside that promise, God appointed Adam to be the first priest according to the order of his son, because the gospel began to be preached from the beginning, being declared by holy angels sent from the presence of God to Adam, and by his own voice and by the gift of the Holy Spirit. 18. And so all things pertaining to the priesthood, including the high priesthood of the holy order of the only begotten, were confirmed upon the head of Adam by a sacred ordinance, and a decree was established in heaven and sent forth to remain in the world until the end. 19. In its turn, God uttered the following sentence upon Satan and the church of God in all the times predetermined by him among his offspring. That is, those who take the side of Satan against God and his rule on earth, and the seed of the priesthood of God, those to whom, under the promise of a covenant, they would receive the proper authority of the Son of God under the command and rule of the designated seed, who will bruise his head by the following promise: I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and his offspring, and he will bruise your head, and you will bruise his heel. 20. Therefore, no man can free himself from this yoke of slavery and death without the help of those who bear the priesthood of the Son of God. This priesthood, which will be repeatedly attacked and confused by the power of Satan and his seed throughout the history of God's people. On the other hand, the designated seed, not to come from the corruptible seed of Adam, as it is with the members that make up this priesthood laid upon Adam and his righteous seed after him. Rather, it is necessary that its conception be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit through the immaculate womb of a virgin who is not tainted by conspicuous after effect that affect the thoughts of the fleshly man. 21. It happened then that I, Mormon, for how much transcribed these words from the sealed record of Moses, that the voice of the Lord calling me said, like a child in the lap, the dispensation of Adam could not fully understand these words of mine. But as the child grows and develops more fully, it becomes able to have the understanding of information that could not before he understood. That could not before be understood. Similarly, the purpose of my words in regard to my offspring involves a gradual understanding of times, in which I, the Lord, will give the children of man, line by line, a little here and a little there, and blessed they be for those who listen to my precepts, because they will get more. 22. And behold, I, the Lord, will conclude a series of covenants proceeding from me to the children of man, who will reveal many details with the unfolding of the dispensation, which will be fully understood in this period of time in which this message, sealed by my servant Moses, is revealed in the eyes of my people in the last days. 23. Of course, the covenant I made with Adam and his righteous seed after him is sufficient assurance that I, the Lord, will keep my promise. Nevertheless, on many occasions, I, God, will kindly strengthen the validity of my covenants with the children of Adam, for how much I will have to redeem from his descendants a righteous man who is willing to keep my commandments. Verse 23. Of course, the covenant, verse 24. These inviolable agreements of the everlasting gospel of my only begotten give to you, mortal and fallen men, an even more solid base to trust in my words. 25. It was then that Cain, the firstborn of Adam, induced by the cunning of the devil, began to create dogmas concerning the designated seed, so that their symbols would serve as signs for the future generations of the son of Adam, with the purpose of generating hope for a future restoration of what had been lost by his parents in Eden. 26. Because of the divine decree imposed on the descendants of Adam, that the soil had been cursed and that man would have to work hard so that with the sweat of his face he could reap his reward, Cain proposed then that the fruits of the earth would be the symbol of the designated seed. And every time one was going through the painful process of plowing, sowing, and cultivating the soil, he would be aware symbolically of the promised descendant and remember the cursed state of the children of man. 27. But at the end of the work, with the gratification of the harvest, the children of Adam should, in accordance with the dogmas taught by Cain, burn some fruits in the field to fulfill the word of God as the purpose of always remembering his promised descendant. 28. In this way, then, according to the precepts of Cain, similar to what happens with the crop, that after much labor brings its reward in the end, the children of Adam would have their reward through the appointed seed. 29. Abel, on the other hand, as he had since childhood, the craft of gathering together in flock a reasonable number of cows and sheep and birds in order to facilitate their tasks of milking milk every day and having eggs for food and wool for making blankets and clothing, did not come to know the field, and with that put in controversy the sacred ordinances imposed by Cain to the future descendants of Adam. 30. Moreover, as the prophecy mentions that the serpent's offspring would injure the heel of the offspring of the promise, Abel concluded that this should be a bloodshed on the part of the designated seed. For in the original of his Edenic dialect, God's correct pronunciation to the serpent would be to bleed the heel rather than to hurt. And for this reason, Cain went unnoticed when he formulated his dogmas upon prophecy. With this in mind, Abel proceeded to formulate dogmas based on the original context described by his father Adam in the Edenic language, which would be in the nation of Israel in the days when Moses described his account, the equivalent of the word sacrifice, which means office of bleeding. Already in the original of the language spoken by the Hebrews in his day, sacrifice means bleeding. Whence comes the word which I, Mormon, know in the Nephite language as being sacrament. That is, the sacrament traces the will of the Lord from the beginning of time in order to always remember the designated seed, Jesus Christ. 31. Because of this, it came to pass that Abel, fulfilling the requirements of prophecy and therefore the requirements of the law, found it improper to offer fruits of the field as a sacrifice to God, just as Cain had proposed. Because in the days when God commanded Adam to offer sacrifices on an altar, the angels who visited him said that it should be done as a symbol of the sacrifice to be made from the only begotten of the Father, and that only a blood sacrifice could, in fact, symbolically foreshadow this ceremony, with the purpose of always remembering the future shedding of blood by the designated seed, who would be wounded for the benefit of all men. 32. In turn, it was man himself, starting with Cain, who came to frame dogmas in order to reconnect his symbologies with the remembrance of a divine promise. 33. It happened then that God was pleased with Abel's offal and rejected that of Cain's, because he knew that this approval would result in the sequel that Adam's descendants would give in observing the ordinance, which foreshadowed the correct understanding of the designated seed, and thus they would not observe the deceit proposed by Cain. Because the children of man need symbols to remain faithful to the command of God, the Lord then accepted the most coherent and faith-filled dogma in the content described in the words of his prophecy, and therefore it was said that by faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain, and by his faith he obtained the approval of God as a righteous man, and God himself approved of his offers. It happened, 35. It happened then that the priesthood of the Son of God was full in Abel, but diminished in its fullness with each passing day on Cain. And with this, Cain himself came to the conclusion that the Lord looked with appreciation at the offerings of his brother, while rejecting the fruits delivered as an offering to the Lord by his own hands. 36. Cain, therefore, was incited by the devil and enticed of envy, while anger seized his senses, because Cain began to plan a way to interrupt Abel's life. 37. Abel, in turn, justified the plan of salvation through the promised descendant, the designated seed, and through proper observance, correct of the ordinance to remember that promise. 38. It was then that the Lord sought out Cain through an angel sent to him from God to ease the wrath that nourished his heart. The messenger then told him that God the Father had not rejected him when he showed favor to his brother's offering, but he was sad that there was envy and hatred in his heart. Then the Lord asked him the reason for his wrath, and so soon made him understand that the things that further him away from his Creator were not in themselves their wrong form of worship and the deceitful institution of their created ordinances with his precepts of earthly man, and that it would not be for this reason that God the Father would cease to hear his prayers, but his erroneous form of worship only removed the power of the priesthood, which Adam had placed upon his head, just as he also laid upon Abel's head, who had been able to comprehend the mystery of the sacrament through an atonement for blood, which was to foreshadow the sacrifice of the descending fiancé. For those painful ceremony, for whose painful ceremony it is required for a priestly human representative to raise his hand to take life, whose gift only God can give, and thus having to avail himself of death in an ordinance from the old covenant that would make them reflect in the shed of blood of an innocent animal. And with this, the man who watched that helpless, bloodied animal, withering in agony, for the purifying himself from his sins, would have to understand in his heart, for the purpose of always remembering the future actions proposed by the promised descendant, yea, Jesus Christ. 39. For it was so ordained in the heavens that the power of divinity from the priesthood of the Son of God among the sons of Adam can only be maintained among men in the flesh by a strict observance of their ordinances on earth. 40. However, what made Cain stay aloof from God were the feelings contrary to the star that shines in the dawn, which allowed them to take root in his heart, and finally, the full power of the priesthood lost its effectiveness to the opposition of the feelings, who grieved the Spirit of God, pushing it away from their hearts. 41. Such sentiments led him to deliberate sin, when Cain fully rejected the counsel of God and set out to murder his brother. Thus, such feelings were contrary to these, which were once instituted by God to be sentiments that govern the highest celestial characteristics in the Son of Adam. And with them, righteous men in the flesh can control the priesthood of God. 42. These same feelings were established even before the foundation of the world to interact with the human sensibility, so that the children of men, even without the priesthood of God, can identify in midst of their fleshly nature those good feelings that proceed from God to guide them in the way of justice and charity. 43. But since Satan has interposed in the human heart an emotional parallel that leads the children of men to confuse the noble divine feelings with the mere desires of their hearts, men end up exchanging the excellence of right motivation with regard to the pure sentiments derived from the fruits of the Holy Spirit that is in the gospel of the only begotten of the Father, by a fleeting sense of greatness in his way of feeling and thinking, which ultimately corrupts his magnificence before the heavens, desecrating his true nature in a fallen and degrading condition that will lead man to a continual endeavor to satisfy his need for happiness by a deception designed by the enemy in their hearts. 44. However, true happiness comes from within and proceeds from the light emanating from the Holy Spirit, and not from things that temporarily fill the void that cause man to lack true knowledge in their way of feeling. 45. It so happened that God made Cain to know what Satan knew beforehand, that his offering would be rejected and would rejoice with it. Further, God told many things to Cain concerning his heirs and warned him about his course, and that he would be accepted again by the Lord if only he would withdraw from nourishing these evil feelings and return to do good in relation to his brother Abel. 46. But Cain loved Satan more than God, because Satan promised to serve his personal interest. But in exchange, Cain would have to make his brothers worship him, engendering secretly the devil's deception together with the truth of God in order to appear as close to the precepts that the children of Adam had received to identify the truth of Father. 47. And so Satan proposed to work through Cain great signs and wonders to deceive everyone as possible and to gain an active power among the children of men that equates with the priesthood of the Son of God, which was given first to Adam and his righteous offspring after him. Because just as happened to Cain, all those who choose to follow the precepts of Satan will also lose the power of the priesthood. And with this, Satan will have full power over the children of men who are deceived by their rise and priestly deception. 48. It happened then that Satan swore loyalty to Cain, just as Cain swore by his own life that neither he nor his brethren who would rise after him in the priesthood order proposed by Satan would reveal the secrets of this order to the righteous sons of Adam. With this, Satan proposed to Cain to deliver Abel into his hands and to take possession of all his flocks and goods and make him supreme master in the order of the priesthood Mahan, whose source of power comes from the devil. However, Cain would have to shed Abel's blood in confirmment of the covenant established with Satan. 49. Happened then that after Cain deliberately disobeyed the guidance of God and consequently killed Abel, that God cursed him, saying, "While Abel justifies my plan in the land to have righteous descendants of the priesthood in relation to my offspring, you, Cain, justify the offspring of the original serpent, Satan, the devil, for he became a perdition to the sons of men, for he is wiser than you to deceive you, because this one was full of wisdom before there was Eden, because he existed before the foundation of the world." 50. And so, from the dawn of time, Cain and Abel foreshadow the two priestly castes in relation to the wicked priests of the Mahan class and the righteous men of the priesthood of the Son of God that exist from the beginning and will exist until the end of time. Just like me, Moses, could see with my own eyes the similar power of the Mahan priests from Egypt in relation to the priesthood power of the sons of God resting upon me. 51. And thus said the Lord, this is the sacred secret that you, Moses, must keep sealed in this book that I made you write after that my people Israel harden the heart for want of a right spirit, that our feelings that in times past I, the Lord, gave through the Holy Spirit, so that my people would observe my power acting within themselves. In relation to my priesthood, when I gave you the key to this knowledge, to teach them clearly in the desert, so that they could have full communion with me, the Lord, and that it is only through the use of the right feeling, which they should have in their hearts, that is possible to make use of the attributions derived from the priesthood authority of the Son of God, and that there is no other way of subduing the powers of heaven and establishing the order of Enoch, except in accordance with the invocation of the high sentiment which pertain to that order. 52. Know therefore, Moses, that before I take you out of the midst of this people, because of the hardness of their hearts, as I will also take away the holy priesthood from them, that I, the Lord, will cause to remain with this people only the priesthood lesser and preparatory among them until my descendant comes. 53. You must therefore summon a class from the Levites, whose office must be from generation to generation, in order to conceal from the sons of men this manuscript, until I, the Lord, raise in due time a Moses like unto thee, and he will make known the words of this book to those who will be willing and ready to attend to this commitment with me, the Lord. And thus this knowledge will again be within the reach of the children of men among all who believe. 54. Behold, you are well aware of this agitation in your mind, my servant Moses, and you know how difficult it is to recognize the feelings of light amidst this stupor of emotions coming out of darkness, which tends to prevent the children of men to identify feelings originating from light and truth. For how much it was required that you should invoke me, the Lord, in your afflictions, when you were with the people among the mountains and were surrounded by the carriages of Pharaoh and the waters of the sea. And so the people were filled with uncertainty, and the stupor of fear and doubt suddenly came to occupy their thoughts. And as soon as they left out the feelings of faith and gratitude that until then filled their hearts. Immediately, verse 55. So back up, they left out the feelings of faith and gratitude, which until then had filled their hearts. And so 55, immediately they lost out their convictions of serving unconditionally to me, the Lord, with all their heart, soul, and understanding. But as for you, Moses, you marveled at my previous deed and remembered my work in the land of Egypt and kept full hope in your countenance. To that I, the Lord, would save them, seeking in you the highest feelings that may exist in the earthly man, who bring forth the power of my priesthood among the children of men in the flesh. And when you had compassion on my people, which was about to perish in the hand of Pharaoh, you found yourself then in full condition of summoning my presence, not in words, because my name cannot be pronounced by the human mouth, but in your heart, invoking the feeling that prefigures my whole being, which you could only understand in the realm of human understanding as being the most sublime and elevated feeling that there is, yea, of the unconditional love. 56. For whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved, and so shall it be in the last days among my people. But how shall they call on them whom they have not known, by whose name no mouth can pronounce? 57. Now this is the great mystery which I, Moses, must kept hidden from the world until the Lord finds it prudent to reveal it to the sons of men, for it is the key to operating the holy priesthood of the Son of God. 58. And for the purpose of no one to usurp his name, it was that the priesthood in the days of Abraham was called the priesthood of Melchizedek. This was determined in ancient times, even in the days when it was known according to the order of Enoch, in recognition of the high priesthood that dignified Enoch, and then according to the order of Melchizedek, in honor of the great high priest who was Melchizedek when he reigned over Salem, obtaining double peace under his rule, both in the position he held as king and in the office of high priest. 59. It was, therefore, out of reverence for the name of God that this holy priesthood, according to the order of the only begotten Son, which is found in the likeness of the Father, and who, par excellence, received the same name as his. Yea, it is in him that one fulfills the words directed to me, Moses, by the great Jehovah, when said, Behold, I send an angel before thee, to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him, and since no other angel has inherited a name like his, it is therefore as excellent as I am. 60. This is therefore the key of the priesthood, and the mystery that will be sealed in this book until the time of the end, because there is nothing more sacred to be revealed to men in the flesh than his knowledge, that the name of God can be invoked in their hearts, and that one cannot evoke the powers of the heavens and the holy priesthood of the Son of God unless it be through sentiments derived from the love of the only begotten Son of the Father, each one correspondent to his ministry, because to some, as the Spirit leads, produce sundry feelings, which we call God's gifts. 61. You cannot, therefore, effect a single part of my work if there be not among you the sentiments derived from the gifts which correspond to a spark of me, the Lord. 62. No. In no way can my people live the height of my priesthood in a united order, as it did in the days of Enoch, without the noblest and high feelings in their hearts, all derived from charity, which is the purest expression of the love of God among the children of men. Much less you can effect any ministry, whether it be healing or powerful works, without any of the feelings derived from the greater gift. 63. This, therefore, is the procedure among the various ministries which are in the priestly order of the only begotten Son. For no authorized representative of the sacred order of my priesthood can perform any miracle, such as healing, unless there is a gift of compassion in your hearts when you pray with hands on the top of the sick. 64. Your action will be in vain if there is no corresponding feeling within you to do the work, whatever it may be. 65. This, therefore, is the secret seal which must be hidden from future generations until Shiloh, in the meridian of time, comes and an appendix demonstrative of the full power of my holy priesthood be given through him, to be revealed again in the final part of the fullness of times, when at last this book, which I command that you seal it, will be again exposed to the remnants of my people in the last days. 66. Behold, I say unto you, Moses, for the purpose of registering in this book these my words, because the men to whom this record arrived must be those who will erect Zion in the last days. 67. But behold, to raise up Zion, there must be love among my people, just as you, Moses, loved the children of Israel unconditionally, and hast encouraged them not to be afraid, but to stand firm in their faith in the Lord, so that they might see salvation from me. 68. And what else should I expect of a prophet, if not that he rather encouraged my people to walk in their confidence, as if they saw the Lord before their eyes? 69. It was then that I led you to this narrow strip of land between the mountains and the sea, because I, the Lord, do not work with the children of men, except according to their faith. 70. And what is faith? Behold, faith is the sum of all the feelings of trust that are in your hearts, which nullify the feelings of fear and doubt as to my performance among those who are my elect. 71. And it was then that I, the Lord, told him, because Moses, you persist to cry out to me when there is in you the full strength of my priesthood, resting in your feelings. Also, know that you have in your retreat the multitude of the children of Israel that are one with you, Moses, even as thou art one with me, the Lord. 72. It is up to you, therefore, to awaken this spark in the hearts of these people, which adds power in the unity of feelings. And I, the Lord, am talking about the church collectively, because when the unity coexists among you, then you become one in me. 73. And yet I tell you, your collective feelings united in a common goal will allow you, Moses, in the use of the attributions confirmed upon the presidency of the high priesthood, to transpose all things, to continue using your power with me, provided there is unconditional love in you by this people. And if this people have faith in me, the Lord, through you and your works, then no condition can be imposed on you by the elements of this world. And then nothing will be impossible for you, because of faith in the hearts, mind, and strength of this people, which is one in me, the Lord. 74. Therefore, spread your hand over the sea, and with the strength of these sediments, which comes from compassion, free the winds that are locked in the floodgates of the heavens, and cause the children of Israel to pass through the sea on dry ground. 75. Happened then, following the story of our first parents, that after the death of Abel, Cain proceeded to take one of his brother's daughters as wife for himself. And they both loved Satan more than God, and thenceforward, along with many of his brothers, lived east of Eden, in a land that had first been inhabited by Nod, one of the first sons of Adam, where Nod settled with his offspring. 76. Cain and his wife had sons and daughters, and he built a city and gave her the name of his son Enoch, and created them according to their veneration, so that their offspring had in the highest esteem from the evil one, who is Satan, as being God. And the true God he taught his children, that this one was a postulation of evil. 77. And it came to pass that one of the sons of Cain had many sons, and he became king of the city. And of his sons there was Irad, from whom Mahujael proceeded, and from Mahujael came Methuselah, from whom Lamech was born, whom Satan incited to have two wives, Ada and Zillah. And with this, polygamy began among the sons of men. For Lamech had made a covenant with Satan, and to seal this covenant, he offered the innocent blood of Gebahah, a righteous man from the land of Havilah, where there is abundance of gold, that is on the banks of the river Pison. And together with his agreement, together with this agreement, Satan proposed that he take a second wife to satisfy the diabolical and sensual feelings that permeated the heart of Lamech. 78. This Gebahah, in turn, was a righteous man among the sons of Adam, and he endeavored to preach repentance among the sons of Cain, from which Lamech improperly seized his ornaments of gold and precious stone, and took possession of his goods and animals, becoming the first thief among the sons of men, and a murderer just as Cain, who also shed innocent blood to seal his covenant with Satan the devil, in the manner of the order Nahan, thus becoming a master of the order and lord of that great secret that had been given to Cain. 79. Irad himself had been summoned to serve Lamech, and he made him acquainted with his secrets, which he did not restrain, and proceeded to tell the sons of Adam about the disgusting things that came from Satan, whom he had for God, and that at last they imprisoned the children of men under a degrading and miserable condition. And so Lamech killed Irad, his brother, to keep their secret combinations among the priests of the order of man, which has existed since the days of Cain. 80. It was then in these days of abominations among the sons of men, when they no longer kept the commandments of God, and the priestly precepts of the order Mahan spread throughout all inhabited land, that God raised up a righteous offspring again for Adam, and he went on to call him by the name Seth. 81. And when he was still a young man, God showed himself to Seth and commissioned him. And Seth gladly accepted his call to preach repentance among his brethren. It was therefore at the age of 69 that Seth was ordained to the priesthood by his father Adam, when it was then proposed to establish among his descendants the order of the priesthood of the Son of God, having for basis of all directives which were revealed from heaven. And the sons of men, knowing that this was the standard proposed by God from the beginning, that the presidency of high priesthood should be handed down from father to son, or to a righteous descendant of the promise, if there is no worthy heir to assume the place of his father in the highest office that exists in the hierarchy of the church. 82. Therefore, the priesthood presidency of the Son of God belongs rightfully to the literal descendants of the chosen seed, to whom the covenant promises have been and will be made, and this same order that has always existed will exist until the end of the world. Therefore, Adam, the president of the high priesthood in his day, spread the gospel with Seth, and came to confer priesthood on Enos, son of Seth, when he was 134 years old. And God called Canaan, the son of Enos, by a messenger in the wilderness when he was 40 years old. And he proceeded to preach repentance to the sons of Cain and the descendants of Adam. And after 47 years since God called him on one of his journeys to Shedolamach, was what Canaan came upon Adam teaching among the multitude of his descendants. And it was on this occasion that Adam ordained him to the priesthood. 84. And it came to pass when Adam was 927 years old that he gathered in a place called Adam on the Ammon, and Enos and Canaan and Mahalalel and Jared and Enoch and Methuselah, all high priests of the holy order of the Son of God, and there bestowed the keys of his presidency on the head of Seth, being blessed by his father 3 years before Adam's death. This is the end of chapter 4. I get a little confused with all the names. I apologize. This was a good chapter. Thank you.